Hi, this is Andrew Gaffney, editor of Demand Gen Report, and we're here at DemandCon, and I'm joined by Jeff Ernst, who is a principal analyst serving CMO and marketing leadership professionals with Forrester Research. Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
Andrew, glad to be here. Thanks for talking to me.
Jeff delivered the really great opening keynote here at DemandCon, and we want to follow up and talk a little bit more about some of the concepts that he touched on there. One of the most interesting things, I mean, obviously this is a very funnel-focused audience, and a lot of the themes have been around the funnel. You somewhat controversial, probably the idea of, you know, it's really time to bury the funnel. Can you talk to that a little bit more?
Yeah, it's always good to be provocative, isn't it? Yeah, so especially with DemandCon has a funnel in the logo, I thought it was a good opportunity to encourage people to bury the funnel. And let me explain what I mean by that. It's not really just totally doing away with the funnel, but it's putting it in its right place. And because the funnel is a 110-year-old concept that really tries to model buyer behavior in a linear and narrowing fashion. But the reality is, today's reality is buyer behavior has changed such that people don't necessarily go through an awareness through buy process that's linear, that gets narrower as they go. They tend to become aware of more things as they get doing their web research. They become aware of more options and their consideration sets expand. And so the shape of the funnel, I mean, buying behavior is not funnel shaped, and it's also a buyer behavior. Marketers need to be encouraging loyalty after the sale. And so what we really recommend is people take a more of a customer lifecycle approach to really managing marketing investments and campaigns and customer experience. And think about the experience you want to deliver across every stage of the customer lifecycle, and recognize that it's a cycle, it's an iterative process, that when the sale is done, there's a post-sale service impact and experience impact that's going to now make it easier for the following sale with that same client.
Yeah, that's great. You have a unique perspective because you get to work with, you know, directly with users and you know, CMOs that are trying to implement a lot of the technology that we write about. What are you finding some of the, you know, the top challenges are for B2B marketers?
There's probably two big themes that I hear over and over again from every B2B marketer I talk to. One is, how do I stand out from the crowd and get noticed, especially since products are getting so commoditized and a lot of the marketing messages sound the same and buyers don't really care as much about products as they do their problems. So how do the companies stand out in this environment? The second is, how does me as a marketing organization, how do my people have more impact on revenue, and how do we get recognized for the impact that we are having on revenue? Those have got to be everybody's stay awake issues.
So one of the things that you touched on was, you know, in differentiating, the thought leadership and content are becoming so much more important. And you shared, I think, a list of 10, you know, imperatives around that. But can you share some of those and just elaborate on how
sure.
to do that well or differently?
Yeah, and this ties back to standing out from the crowd. And so you're never going to really stand out from the crowd by just talking about your product features. And so what I really tell people to do is take a provocative position in the marketplace and be a thought leader and take a stand on some of the big issues that your customers face. And what this involves is coming up with what I call an idea hierarchy. Come up with what is that big idea that worldview that your company has on your market, and why is it that you do what you do? Because the fact is buyers don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, and they buy your approach to solving their problem, not your product. And so you need to take that position and, you know, establish these positions on these issues that all support this big idea. And some of the attributes I talked about the other day for your position should be provocative. They should be challenging the status quo or the conventional thinking about an issue and get people to almost squirm when they hear about it and then think, oh my God, I'm doing that. He's describing what I'm doing wrong. You know, these people have opened my eyes up to a whole new way of thinking. That's going to really get people to care about what you have to say. And it should be forward-looking. A lot of people, typical buyers, are so spending 40, 50, 60 hours a week in their day-to-day operations, they're not necessarily looking ahead. Help them look ahead. And if you can be putting ideas out there that are forward-looking, you're going to really be looked at as a valuable source. And you know, make it inspiring. Share ideas that people can get excited about, that they're going to want to share with other people, because that's going to get your ideas and messages to spread through social channels, through offline channels, even at conferences like this. And make it conversational. That's another big thing, too, is a lot of companies that have tried to do random acts of thought leadership, they'll be put bold, authoritative statements out there and say, that's it. But they're end of conversation. That's not what you want to do with thought leadership. You want to use it to start a dialogue. So make it conversational. Put your big opinions out there, but do it in such a way that you encourage people to comment on them, to extend them, to perhaps disagree, or to even add their own spin and extend your ideas.
Great. So final thing, you mentioned, you know, that revenue and showing revenue impact is obviously a big part of every conversation now. What are some of the guidance that you give, you know, marketers or CMOs about how to get started down that path?
Well, a lot of people come to me because they're implementing marketing automation because they want to demonstrate the impact they're having on revenue. But all too often, they're going down the automation path without really having a process to automate, and they haven't really thought through the whole lead management process that they want to have, such that they will have that traceability across the whole lead to revenue process. So, in fact, I just came from a Birds of a Feather session where this was the lively topic of debate, where people were implementing these systems, but there wasn't yet that buy-in from marketing. And so it's going to sound so fundamental when I say this, yet it's really hard to do, is getting the sales and marketing leadership together to really agree on, you know, what is it that you really want your reps working on? You know, what type of deals are you working on, you want them working on? What are the ideal types of conversations you want them having? And, you know, and from that, pull it back to say, okay, you know, how does that translate into what's a marketing qualified lead, what's a sales ready lead, and, you know, what are the behaviors that both implicit and explicit and attributes of leads that are going to help, you know, qualify or score these people. But it really starts with having that conversation about, you know, where should reps be spending their time? And if you, I found that that's kind of the key question that helps get the marketing and sales dialogue to the right issues that need to be answered, and yeah, the right definitions that need to be put in place to really have an effective lead management process.
Yeah, it's very foundational. Well, thank you very much for taking time today, and again, an outstanding presentation yesterday.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks again for that great content. I hope our audience enjoyed it. I want to thank you for listening today. Keep an eye out for other upcoming podcasts in the series that we'll be broadcasting through demandgenreport.com.